All right, Alexander, it looks like we're inching closer to some sort of conflict between Russia and NATO. At least that's how I see it. Russia, the United States, Russia, NATO. NATO is the United States in essence. But we have a couple of instances here. The first one is that Italy has expelled Russian diplomats over, and I quote, extremely serious NATO spy case. That's the first piece of news that came in today. And the second bit of news is on the military front that NATO says, this is what NATO is saying, it's intercepted Russian aircraft 10 times in one day. So, in other words, NATO is crafting the narrative that Russia is being belligerent towards NATO. Russia is encroaching on NATO territory. Of course, being in Cyprus and Greece, Turkish planes cross the Greek airspace like 1,000 times a day. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Alexander, what do you make of these narratives that are being built that are at a minimum just trying to fuel the Russia boogeyman case at a dangerous maximum, maybe preparing the way for some sort of conflict between the US, NATO, and Russia?
I think that's exactly right. I think there is an attempt increasingly to pitch Russia as a sort of, threat state. And it's interesting to see which quarters they're coming from. I mean, you have Jens Stoltenberg, who is, of course, NATO Secretary General, and he says that the Russians are no longer responsive to offers to talks. And he says, I'm quoting him now, since the summer of 2019, there have been no meetings of the NATO-Russia Council, and that's because Russia has not responded positively to our invitation to convene the council. I regret that because I think the dialogue is important, especially when times are difficult as they are now. Then it is important that we sit down, discuss also difficult issues. I believe in dialogue with Russia, partly to strive for a better relationship with that country. However, he goes on to say, that if Russia refuses to work at the rate of Russia Council, that is entirely Russia's fault. So there we go. It is constantly Russia's fault if dialogue between the West and Russia doesn't take place. It is always Russia's fault if Russian aircraft fly in places NATO doesn't like. And of course, we never hear the other side. We never hear about US aircraft coming ever closer to Russia's borders, US aircraft monitoring Russian ships. I hear, for example, that there's a big Global Hawk surveillance drone currently flying over the Black Sea, monitoring Russian troop movements there. This is going on all the time. And clearly, a narrative is being created that there is, in fact, some kind of danger from Russia. What if you actually look at this from a logical perspective, it looks to be increasingly like, I mean, it is the other way round. It gets the reality is set on its head.
All right, so going back to the Italy case, which is the more, I think it's an interesting case because we've actually seen this play out with Greece and with the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia. I guess the official name now is North Macedonia. But we saw this play out with Tsipras and the Greek Prime Minister, and he expelled Russian diplomats because he said that they were stoking anti-Greek freedom, North Macedonia kind of rapprochement, and they were stoking protests, so he expelled them from the country. Now we're seeing the same thing play out in Italy, and this case revolves around an Italian Navy captain who was caught passing secret documents belonging to Italy to a Russian military official, and this happened on Tuesday night. The Italian naval officer is alleged to have received money in return. Let me read you a real brief excerpt from Reuters. The Italian captain of a frigate and the Russian who was accredited at the embassy were accused of, and I quote, serious crimes tied to spying and state security after their meeting on Tuesday night. Italian Carabinieri police said the suspects were not officially identified. A police source said the captain was called Walter Bayat, adding that he accepted 5,000 euros, roughly $5,865, in return for the information. Italian news sources identified that NATO documents were among the files that the Italian had handed over. Okay, so we have an Italian captain supposedly getting money, allegedly getting money from a Russian accredited embassy official, and to pass over NATO documents. Okay, what do you make of this?
Well, it may be true. I mean, spying goes on all the time, but perhaps the more interesting part of the story is not that there was, in fact, some spying going on, that the Russians were in contact with a NATO officer and getting information, but the fact that the Italians made such an enormous amount of fuss about it and publicised it by expelling two Russian diplomats. Now, go back in time 2 years, and we learnt, because the CIA told us about it, that an official of the Russian presidential administration, a man called Oleg Smolenkov, had been passing information to the United States. How did the Russians react about that? Did they expel lots of people? Did they say that the United States was acting completely inappropriately and diplomats and the US embassy were acting contrary to their, you know, diplomatic duties? Well, they didn't. They took it in their stride, because just as the Russians carry out spying on us, we carry out spying on them. And that is, in fact, the way things are and always have been. But someone decided to make a big issue of this by expelling two Russian diplomats who, for all we know, have no connection to this affair at all. And you're right, this has been happening. It happens constantly now in many countries. It happened in the Czech Republic not so long ago, for example. And again, it looks to me like a case of harassing Russian diplomats and Russian embassies and Russian diplomatic posts and officials, and at the same time continuing to construct this narrative that the Russians are somehow everywhere, that they're a threat, they do all sorts of extraordinary and dangerous things, even though, as I said again, it is no more than what we do to them.
Yeah, usually the spying stuff is kept on the down low, and the countries Absolutely. Kind of resolve it between yeah. themselves, and you know, you really don't kind of hear much about the spy world, spy craft, outside of movies or cinema. But you know, we're starting to get more and more stories about Russian spying, and we really don't hear much about U.S. spying or Chinese spying, outside of maybe Eric Swalwell and Fang. We don't really get much about Chinese spying either. German spying, yeah. Israeli spying. I mean, it's always seems to lean towards the Russian spying.
Yes, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, the traditional way of doing this is if somebody in an embassy is caught in the act of spying, which happens quite often, I mean, it happens from time to time, then usually there's quiet discussions and that person goes back to their country, and there's no publicity around it. There's usually intelligence agencies of the various powers and various governments don't want to draw attention to this kind of thing, partly because they're doing it themselves, but partly, as many people know, because all the spies, the Russian spies know who the American spies are, the Americans know who the Russian spies are, and they like it that way, because that way they can watch and survey and communicate with each other. If you start creating, you know, disruption by expelling people, then that actually overturns the pieces in a way that makes the game less predictable. But what's happening this time is that these two diplomats have been expelled in a way that it's clearly intended to draw attention to this incident. and, as you said, to create a narrative. And I can't help but think that it is not a coincidence that this has happened shortly after Mario Draghi, the former chairman of the European Central Bank, and, of course, an arch-globalist, somebody who studied in the United States in all the important, you know, institutions there, that he has just become Prime Minister of Italy. So I am sure this is partly a signal to the Russians that Italy is now on our side. There were some doubts about that before. And at the same time, there's a further attempt to construct this narrative picture of an aggressive and dangerous Russia that sends its spies everywhere, that carries out all this harassment of our planes, even though it's we who are mainly harassing them, and it's we who are actually encroaching closely on their borders, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, this is either, and I think this is the most likely scenario, this is either just about NATO after Trump was saying we're not going to give NATO more money because it's useless to give NATO American money. This is NATO kind of creating the Russia boogeyman so that Biden then can just pump up the cash inflows to NATO, which is what's going to happen. So in other words, the United States and the U.S. taxpayer is just going to be burdened with billions and billions of more dollars, trillions, who knows, going to the NATO slush fund. So they have to continue to prop up the Russian boogeyman. That's what's going to happen, especially post-Trump. Trump took the other view. Trump said, we're not just going to continue to give you guys money because we get nothing in return. And it's useless. It's useless to give you guys money. There's no purpose in it. But now that you have Biden in office, let the money start to flow. But on the other side of the spectrum, given what's happening in Ukraine especially, there could be a chance that we may be heading towards some sort of a NATO-Russia conflict.
It's possible. It's absolutely possible, and that's not an a issue to be dismissed. But you're quite right. I mean, NATO now feels that with Biden in the White House, Biden-Harris in the White House, some meaning and purpose has been restored to them, and so they're acting in a more concerted way once again to set up the Russian boogeyman, who, after all, is the reason for NATO's entire existence, or at least the justification for Russia's entire existence. And since you've touched on the subject of Ukraine, it might be worthwhile saying say what the Russians have said in response to Stoltenberg's comments about Russia refusing to sit in the Russia-NATO Council that we were talking about. And this is what Lavrov said. Our colleague, Mr. Stoltenberg, declares that Russia refuses to work in the Russia-NATO Council. We do not refuse to work. We just don't want to sit there and hear about Ukraine. NATO has nothing to do with Ukraine, and yet when they offer to convene the Russia-NATO Council, they always insist that the first question should be about Ukraine. We sat down a couple of times, listened, we all know this. Therefore, we have proposed to restore contacts between our militaries in order to save complex agreements that we have previously signed. So what the Russians are saying is they're not prepared to simply sit down and be lectured at and dictated to and be put in the dock all the time. They've no interest in a Russia-NATO Council that is only about that. They've suggested talk between the militaries, and they're specifically not willing to talk with NATO about topics like Ukraine, even though, as we know, the situation in Ukraine is heating up. And by the way, it may be that contacts between the militaries may be starting to happen because General Miller, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the United States, has just spoken with Russian General Valery Gerasimov, who is the head of the Russian General Staff. So it may be that the militaries of the two blocks, of the two powers, Russia and the United States, who are, I suspect, perhaps not entirely enchanted by some of the policies coming out of the politicians, are now talking directly to each other, circumventing people like Stoltenberg and the neocons in the administration. But, you know, that's a bit speculative and we don't really know.
All right, we'll leave it there. Alexander Kirsch, thank you very much. Guys, hit that like. Make sure you still subscribe to the channel and go to the Durant shop. Pick up some merch, hoodies, sweatshirts, all kinds of good things. I'll drop a coupon in the description box down below as well. So check out that coupon and get some discounts on Durant merch.